Follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Back on the program, it is Follow the Money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Mitch Moss along with Pauly Howard live in downtown Las Vegas from the Circa Resort and Casino. All right, so looking at these two games that we have coming up on Sunday and just a boatload of props to get into. If you shop around, look around at various books, you can find some of the following props we're about to talk about, and we'll run down how they have fared so far throughout the entire season, what numbers should actually look like. You can find right now Mahomes and Burrow 550 passing yards combined and 5 touchdowns. That's plus 195. Now, again, the first time they played, it was an aerial circus.
Yes.
And Burrow had 440 plus on his own and 4 touchdowns in that game. How about Chase to have 100 yards and a touchdown? That's plus 280. Now, if you just go, it's a small sample size here, his rookie season. But he did that 4 times this year. Regular season and the playoffs combined. That's 21%.
That's it?
Yep.
That's surprising.
I was stunned. I thought it was going to be like 6, 7, 8 times. Not the case. But if you do the translation here, that equals about plus 376. Plus 280 is about 26.3% of the time, per my numbers, per the, you know, whatever. And so, it just based on what he did this regular season, it doesn't match up. But again, very small sample size, and I was actually shocked to see he only did it 4 times. That was weird. Would you look at that anyway? Maybe if you could find north of $3 on that?
Mm-hmm.
How about Mahomes?
You also could have a scenario where it's 21-3 Kansas City, and they have to throw.
Yeah, game flow?
Yes.
Sure.
Yeah.
Mahomes and Burrow to each have 300 yards passing. That's plus 360. Burrow did that 7 times this year. Mahomes only 7 times this year. I think everybody just assumes that, you know, Mahomes goes out there and he throws for 300 yards every single game. No, 7 out of 19 games so far.
How about the email received about throwing out the Kansas City letdown spot? You just have the crazy win overtime, and
well,
the Bengals are on a free roll. They're here for the first time since '88. They ended the 31-year drought.
But wouldn't you
win in a game? Sorry,
like that for the maybe your first quarter angle, and maybe the first half.
Come out slow.
Yeah, because you like the under in the first half, the first quarter anyway.
Every Bengal game we're on the road has gone under.
Now I will go back a couple of years ago. We did see this with the Chiefs when they came out and they got, I mean, they were down 24-0 to the Texans before they came back and blew them out.
Yes.
They were down, you know what, 17-0 I believe, or 17-7 to the Titans the following week before they came back to win that game.
Okay. Yes.
So it happens.
They were down 14-0 to Brady in 2019.
That's right. That's right. How about this? I thought this would be a Paul Howard special. Both teams to score points in all 4 quarters is 6-1. KC, they've accomplished that 5 times in the last 7 weeks.
Oh.
The Bengals, 4 weeks in a row. I'm not going to include week 18 against Cleveland. Their starters really didn't play. But 6-1, if you like plenty of points, and you can still get plenty of points, obviously, with, you know, having one of these teams shut out in one of the quarters, but for all of them to score?
It happened in the Chiefs-Bills game. It almost happened in the Tampa-Rams game.
Right.
Tampa was shut out in the second quarter.
And, by the way, again, to refresh people here, the Bengals only scored 19 points against the Titans. They did it. They scored every single quarter.
Both teams score in all 4 quarters, 6-1. I'm on board.
Okay.
Why not? Sure.
Mahomes, 2 passing. This is tough. But 2 passing touchdowns in each half, 6-1. No thanks.
They did it last week, but that, think about what had to happen.
Because
I had that. I had both teams, 2 touchdowns. Excuse me. Each team with 2 touchdowns passing and rushing in each half. It was like 30-1. 28-1. I needed one more rushing touchdown out of the Bills.
Okay.
But that was DOA. You had to have the craziness in the final 2 minutes.
You did. Yep.
I mean, that's very hard to get.
McKinnon, 100 yards rushing and 1 touchdown, plus 850. And Mixon to score a touchdown in each half is also plus 850. Now,
should be higher.
Yeah, I think. Well, the McKinnon thing too, right?
Yeah.
Because I would actually look into McKinnon receiving yards again this week. He got there last week against the Bills, but I think Allaire is actually, when he's been healthy here down the stretch, he's looked pretty good. In the 49ers-Rams game, Debo to have 50 yards rushing and 50 yards receiving. Anybody want to guess how many times he did that in the same game this year? It's plus 220. He didn't do it one time.
Really?
But he also never really turned into a true running back until like week 10. But he never reached 50 receiving and rushing once. Akers basically only played in three games, but 100 yards rushing and a touchdown is 5-1.
We'll see what the boy genius does Sunday, because I know if this guy was a Patriot, he wouldn't be on the field.
Correct.
So with the two huge fumbles Sunday, I don't know how they're going to use them. Does it mean more carries for Michelle or what they're going to do? Interesting from a prop standpoint. He should be in a doghouse.
Hey, that's another thing, by the way. Don't you? Michelle has been killed pretty much his entire career. Don't you think Michelle actually looked pretty effective for the Rams? Yeah. I don't understand force-feeding Akers the ball. I get it. When healthy, very good. But the fumbles in last, oh, boy. Stafford and Jimmy G to throw for 550 yards passing and 5 touchdowns. That's 5-1. If you go back and look when they played in Week 18, they combined for 554 and 4 touchdowns. But when they played much earlier in the season, it was 425 yards and 3 scores.
Yeah, Stafford was terrible in the Monday night game.
Yep.
Terrible. They couldn't do anything in that game. 7 points with 3 minutes left. Beckham had 2 catches in that game, too. Although now that they developed a rapport.
And, yeah, right.
It's been a different story.
Now, one more here on Debo. How about 100 yards receiving and a touchdown for him? That's plus 550. That actually happened 3 times this year, but it has not happened since week 7 against Indy. So it happened all from week 1 against Detroit through week 7 against Indy. It has not happened since.
Oh.
And they've really, you know, and it makes sense, right? They've really gotten obsessed with running him the ball as a back instead.
But he had a big game. Okay, he had 95 in week 18.
Okay.
Yeah. The 43-yarder that on the final drive.
This is Stafford. 2 touchdowns in each half is 8-1. Stafford and Jimmy G, 300 yards each, is 9-1. Stafford threw for 300-plus yards this year 8 times. Jimmy G actually pulled it off 5 times.
That's surprising.
Yeah, it really is. Jimmy G for 300 yards and 3 touchdowns, 10-1. He did not throw for 3 touchdowns in a single game this year. Could that be a case again where...
I don't want any part of that.
If this is a...
No.
Hold on a second here. With game flow, if the Rams get out to the 17-0 lead again, which could happen...
Yards, yes, but and 3 touchdowns?
I know, that's...
I can't, yeah. Yeah. That should be higher.
And again here, both teams to score in all 4 quarters is 11-1. I went back and looked at all their games into the regular season, the playoffs. Hasn't happened very often for either one of these teams. And then if you want to get really nuts on an 80-1 shot here, Stafford to throw for 300, Beckham to have 100 yards receiving, and Akers 100 yards rushing, that is 80-1. Beckham actually did not have 100 yards receiving one time this season. So those,
wow.
Yeah, those are some of the fun props that you can find if you shop around.
How about game flow first quarter there? Both teams to score in the first quarter, plus 155, the no minus 210 at Bet Rivers. I mean, the Niners could come out again and have a long drive.
I know that's
the game plan, too. I mean, I ran down how long in the Monday night game they had 2 90-yard drives. The first one took 11 minutes.
And by the way, they did that quite a bit this year where they would go on these super long drives, right? A lot of yards, ton of plays, eating like 8 minutes a clock. Didn't they have almost was it the Jacksonville game where the first drive of the game basically took the entire first quarter?
I think that was the game.
I think that was the Jacksonville game.
Good call. I'm going under longest touchdown, 41.5, too.
In that game?
In the NFC game.
I think that makes some sense.
Not the AFC. Field goal's tricky for 46.5. Do we get an explanation on Gay? How are you short from 47?
Great question.
How does that happen?
By the way, especially when he's been like rock solid this entire year.
Yeah.
Who was the guy earlier this year who was short from like... Was it one of the Vikings games, or was it Prater?
It was Joseph. Joseph was short, and wasn't he short from 47 and then nailed one with the gun?
I think.
Was that the same game?
That makes some sense,
Joseph,
yeah. It was like the same yardage, yeah.
I'm trying to think. Yeah, the longest field goal in the Kansas City game is 47.5. McPherson does that rolling out of bed.
Well, I mean.
What he's doing. No problem. He'll try one from 55.
Oh, so
Taylor will.
Yeah, and Bucker might have to try one out there as well.
He's got a leg on him too.
I think that one actually could go over. But again, are they going to be settling for field goals in that game?
Yeah. Yeah.
But you know, that actually doesn't really mean settling for a field goal, though. That could be end of the half, and you get to the 35 yard line. It's like, okay, there's 2 seconds left here. What are we going to do?
And I was looking, and shame on me, because I didn't even look at this last week, and we saw what happened and transpired in the Chiefs game. But the 3-touchdown thing at Bet Rivers, I could see it. This could happen. This game could be drunk Sunday morning, this early game, afternoon. Chase is 35-1. Hill's 25. Kelsey's 30-1. Mixon 22-1. Higgins 55.
Ooh.
3 touchdowns.
I need more. Mixon actually could do it, but I want more than 22-1.
Yeah. 2 touchdowns. Burrow's 40. Boyd's 18. Chase plus 650. Allaire 9. Higgins 9. Kelsey Hill 5-6 in that range. Mahomes 12. Mixon 5 for 2 touchdowns at Bet Rivers.
Mahomes 12, huh? Mm.
2? That's a big ask.
That's big.
2 in there?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'd look at maybe first score of the game, Mahomes, to do it.
Yeah, I could see that. Yep. If you miss any part of our show or anything on the VSiN schedule today, don't forget to check out our free sports betting podcast. Catch replays of all of our shows or download and listen on your schedule. Go to VSiN.com/podcast and get Beating the Book with Gil Alexander or Market Insights with Josh Applebaum. Plus, we've got Hardwood Handicappers, the Lombardi Line, Follow the Money, My Guys in the Desert, Coast to Coast Hoops, and many more. They're all free and available now at vsin.com/podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. More NFL bets coming up next, specifically all these coaches that are up for certain gigs. We'll run down those odds for you coming up.
VSiN, the sports betting network.
The Beast is on tomorrow. Jeff Siegel, Pegasus World Cup week. First bet's giving you $25 instantly when you sign up. Celebrate the first major horse racing event of the year with First Bet. Visit VSiN.com/horses to sign up. And if you're a horse racing fan, First Bet's the place for you. VSiN.com/horses to sign up for the special Pegasus World Cup offer today. All right, so we got a lot of news. The breaking news, Hackett is taking the Broncos job.
Uh-huh.
They said, we're not going to let you talk to Jacksonville today. We're going to lock you up. I reached out to Lombardi. What are you hearing? What do you say? Because you can bet on this stuff. Maybe Caldwell to Chicago. Quinn and or Flores to the Giants. Dable or Joseph to Miami. That did not go well in Denver for Vance Joseph.
Oh, it did not at all.
What are we doing here?
So I'm telling you,
come on.
I mean,
and it did not go well for Bowles with the Jets either. But in any event, and then who knows what the Vikings and the Raiders are going to do? And the Vikings just hired their GM, and so did the Bears. But we finally have one down here.
Well,
one down, 8 to go. But Saints are up against it. I would think it'd be Dennis Allen. And we'll get to that in a second. Johnny Avello put that up in the crew at DraftKings.
Right, right.
With the timing.
Okay, well, when you get news this early, like on a Thursday morning, like we did by Adam Schefter and Tom Pelissero on Hackett going to the Broncos as their head coach, this, in theory, Paulie, should open up the floodgates here.
Yeah.
And we're on the air live here for the next hour and 45 minutes. Are you going to be stunned if we have another announcement in that time? I would not be. Or, you know, in the next couple of hours here this morning, as, you know, Thursday progresses a little bit, I'm not going to be surprised if any of these teams, like, would start to announce who they're going to hire now as their next head coach. But you look at the next Dolphins head coach, and odds are up at DraftKings, and Brian Daboll is the favorite at 4-1. I would like to give this guy a shot. I love what he's done with the Bills over the last couple of years. I think, you know, giving him, I would rather take him than a recycled guy, for sure.
If not now, when, for McDaniels? You're running out of time, right?
Well, unless
I don't think Hoodie retires anytime soon.
How many years do you think he has left?
How long would he have to go to break Shuler's record? Does he have
probably
to go
not,
four
I
or five?
I forgot the
math on that one.
But could McDaniels want, would he be willing to like wait this out for the next, let's say, 5 years, and then they could hand the baton to him in New England? Would that make sense for him?
Nah, it's... He's got to go now. If the Raiders offer him the job, I think he has to take it.
I'm looking at these names right now. I mean, give me Brian Daboll over Kellen Moore and Vance Joseph.
Oh,
I mean, it's not even close.
Yeah. And I don't know what's the enemy. I guess it's not going to happen. My God.
I mean...
With another long postseason run, too, hurts him.
He can't get one crack at it. Not one?
Vance Joseph?
And we recycle guys all the time?
Oh, God.
And give other... You know, I mean, this whole thing from a couple years ago, and now look, Zach Taylor's the head coach of the Bengals, but he was like the quarterback's coach, right? And he didn't have like a lengthy resume. Bieniemy's in his 50s now.
There's
for a long time.
Yeah, well, two things here. I don't know what's going to happen with Watson, and then with the timing and their $70 million over the cap. That New Orleans job, that's not enticing.
It is
either.
Not.
Who would want the Houston job? Cully actually did a pretty good job, and they whacked him. I mean, that guy couldn't win that. Cully was drawn dead when he took that gig.
I would say this. At least you're going to go to Houston, and maybe they have the quarterback there to make it work. Maybe Davis Mills is going to be turned out. I thought he actually, all things considered, Davis Mills, I thought, had a hell of a rookie season.
Yeah.
Taken in the third round.
They also fought hard and played hard.
They did.
They hung in there.
Yep.
I think it's going to be Dable. I think he'll go to Miami. The Raiders, Harbaugh is down to plus 125.
Well,
plus 175 last week. Peterson's on there. McDaniel's 6-1. Dable, Bieniemy. I mean, Bisaccia is your second choice.
Well, and more news, right, regarding the Michigan Wolverines as, what was it, the defensive coordinator moved on yesterday. I believe I have that right.
Yeah.
I apologize if I don't, but I think that was the deal where a guy's going to take another job and move along. So it's like the writing could be on the wall here. And I know, again, I think, you know, people covering the Wolverines for a living, they've been suggesting for a long time, it doesn't look good that he's coming back. And they're on the ground there, you know, in and around Ann Arbor. So.
Well, do they? Yes. The reports were he will leave. Michigan thinks he'll take the job if offered, but apparently the Raiders are looking at other people. Flores is the favorite to be the next Texans head coach, plus 350. Joe Lombardi's 4-1. They might go Josh McCown. This could happen, plus 450. I don't know. You figure it out.
That seems ridiculous to me. But
yeah, Mayo, love Mayo. You know, 7-1. McDaniel 7-1.
This is for the next. Which team are you
this
on?
This is
now?
Texans.
Texans.
Texans
now. Okay. Yes. Don't you think Flores should be able to like almost pick whatever
absolutely.
Job he wants?
Yes. Flores or Dan Quinn? Come on.
Oh,
the guy won eight of his last nine games. I mean, how unbearable could he be? You have to live with it.
Yeah, I'm telling you right now.
He doesn't play well in the sandbox. I mean, okay.
Yeah. This, to me, and I know what you said earlier about Hackett, I'd rather take a chance on a guy like Nathaniel Hackett, who could turn out to be a horrible head coach. Nobody knows at this point, right? I would much rather take him than Dan Quinn.
Do they have inside information, the Broncos? I mean, you think it's... You hire Hackett, you bring over the Green Bay staff. You think you have it here? Well, they'll do it. Come on, buddy.
Well, they got the cap space to make it work.
Well, come on. You have weapons. You have a good roster.
Yeah.
Are they married? Engaged? Well, I don't know. The girl lives in Boulder. You're bringing in Hackett. You could bring in other guys.
Thought was they have enough cap space to actually make it work to bring in Adams as well.
Beautiful.
Now they'd have to, you know, what are they?
Can they keep Sutton and Judy too?
I would think, because the Rodgers thing would have to be a trade, yeah? So then it would have to be picks and probably players, and I think if Green Bay's smart, they'd probably want somebody back like Judy in return. I don't know who else they would potentially go after, or Denver would be willing to give up, but that would make sense.
So there it is up there, the graphic. There's DraftKings with the Texans.
Okay.
At the Vikings, Bowles is the favorite, followed by Dan Quinn, D'Amico Ryans, Kellen Moore. I wouldn't mind Bieniemy there. He's 10-1. But there's a bunch of guys ahead of him. I don't know what they're doing. Johnny Avello sent it over. Bowles was 2-1. Sent that over. God.
And now we're looking at Doug Peterson on the list as well?
Come on.
So it was Bowles followed by who, did you say, for the Vikings?
Dan Quinn. Plus 450.
Oh, no. Either one of those guys? No, come on, Minnesota. Yeah. Don't do that. Do something different.
Well, ask Paul Charchian tomorrow.
Yeah. Again, what does Bieniemy have to do? How many offensive coordinators have we seen come and go over the years, get a crack at something, and Bieniemy now, and I get it, he has Mahomes to work with, but they're creative. Is it because Nagy went to Chicago and was a disaster? Is that why? After winning Coach of the Year his first time around with the Bears in first year? I don't know. It's so strange to me. Who would you want if you're the Raiders out here? Would you want Harbaugh? Would you want to make that happen?
You want me to rank him?
You think Bisaccia deserves a chance?
I wouldn't hire him. No, he did a nice job. A tough situation, but I wouldn't. No. I'd go Bieniemy, Harbaugh.
McDaniels?
Dable, then McDaniels. Remember, it did not go well in Denver either for him. I know he's Kyle Orton at quarterback and some, you know, he didn't exactly have but he wanted, is he the guy? He's the guy who wanted Tebow. That was him, right? McDaniels did the Tebow. Yeah.
Yeah, it sounds about right. Oh, he was probably there in that time frame.
Gave up all those picks for him. It's like, okay, well, the ball's going to get there eventually.
Yeah. Also, like when he first took over in Denver, they were successful out of the gates.
Yeah.
And I remember he was talking specifically about how what he learned under Belichick is, and he was impressive right away with the sound bites, right? Saying that we have a game plan, a different game plan to approach a team and to win a game every single week. And it changes based on the opponent. And he sounded smart when he first got there and they were winning games and then it just fell apart for the guy. And you're right, Kyle Orton was the guy. And Tebow just, you know, but I don't know, that whole thing was so screwy.
Yeah, that's how I would rank him, though. But that's...
Well, how about
this? He knows what he's doing, but certainly you also had Tom Brady. It's like the O'Brien thing. I mean, O'Brien also had Brady and what he was working with and won games with Houston, but can't evaluate talent.
Here's what I would love to see for the Saints. If they don't go Dennis Allen, I would love to see that team bring in Joe Brady. And then somehow Brady turns out to be a successful coach and just rubs it right in the face of Matt Rhule.
Sure.
Oh, yeah, I'm not good enough to be your OC. Well, it was me, huh, pal?
There's something going on there. He can't be this great offensive mind, and then he doesn't know what he's doing.
Of course.
I mean, also, look, it was Darnold and Walker and Cam Newton. So that had a lot to do with it.
Uh-huh.
Ben McAdoo, right.
And that guy,
you said it earlier. Absolutely. Mariota or that Motley Crue in Carolina? Give me Mariota.
Sure.
You could be a playoff team. Yeah.
That personally, I would love to see that happen. And the guy's like 30, what is he, 31, 32 years old, something like that, Brady? Come on. He's going to have a long career in this league or in college, mm-hmm. wherever he pretty much wants to do it. It's Follow the Money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Up next, Mike Dettillier is going to join the program from WWL in New Orleans. So who will be the next coach of the Saints? And what's in that same division? What's his prediction in 2022 for Tom Brady? We'll ask Mr. Dettillier coming up next.
Follow the Money on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Hunt down a win with the Football Showdown Series presented by Amazon Prime Video's Reacher. Play free fantasy football during the playoffs and fight for your share of $20,000 in total cash prizes. Head to DraftKings.com/Jack Reacher now to get in on the action. Terms and conditions apply. DraftKings.com for details.
Love our next guest. He is tremendous on the NFL and college football. Mike Dettillier joins the program now, covers the Saints, LSU, SEC, the NFL, WWL in New Orleans. Mike, thanks for the time today. How you doing?
My pleasure. Thanks, guys. Great to be back on.
You got it. You got it. We were just kicking this around in the previous segment about the Saints' next coach and the odds on who it's going to be. Well, first of all, like, how long ago did you know or did you have an idea that Sean Payton might actually call it quits?
Well, those rumors had been around for a little while, but early Monday morning, from a couple people, I knew it was serious. The one thing with Sean, he sort of waffled back and forth with it, but you knew eventually it was going to happen. He was not going to be a lifer here in New Orleans, and no matter what he's saying, you understand where he's going to end up. He'll be on television if it's for a year or two, and then he'll be back coaching again in the NFL. But, man, thank Sean so much because of what he did here. Mm-hmm. He changed the trajectory of a football team that was flat on its back. You think about 2005 and Hurricane Katrina and this team relocating to San Antonio and then coming back late to play at Tiger Stadium in Baton Rouge. And an owner at that time was talking about leaving.
Mm-hmm.
And Sean came in here and got Drew Brees to sign, and that changed everything about this franchise. And while Jim Mora won here, they never won a playoff game. Well, they had good teams here in New Orleans under Jim, and they had great defense, but they never won anything come playoff time. Think about Sean in 2006, his first year as a coach. They win 10 games, but they get to the NFC Championship game with 29 new players on that squad, an entirely new coaching staff, and I still think that's the best coaching job he ever did. I think it was better than the 09 team that won the Super Bowl championship. So three NFC title games, a Super Bowl title. Sean did one hell of a job here. You knew eventually it would end.
Yeah, as it always does, eventually it comes to an end. I mean, I think you could probably argue, just top of my head here, Mike, that season after Hurricane Katrina was maybe the most important season of my lifetime, for sure, going back to any fan base in the entire league and what happened there in that city.
Yeah, and because it gave this area hope.
Yeah.
You know, because there were so many areas that were really devastated by Katrina and the aftermath of the levee breaks and everything else, that you know, it gave you something to take your mind off of some of the misery that was going on in this area and some of the cleanup and build, because we went through it again this year with Hurricane Ida. And I think about that this year, that, you know, before the season starts, this team had to relocate for 4 weeks. You know, they were kind of a vagabond team, but yeah. They had gotten used to it. And Sean handled it, and his coaching staff really handled it well. But you knew this was going to be a season of change with no Breeze. The injuries really devastated them along the offensive line. No Michael Thomas, and probably the worst receiving core in the NFL once he was gone. They won with defense this year, bottom line. They won with defense, and that's why you got heavy money. You better put it on Dennis Allen being the new coach of this football team.
Okay, yeah.
That was our next question.
He's plus 150.
Yeah, and listen, it should be higher than that, because all I know is it'd be shocking for me to think that he would get passed over for this job. He came in 2015 to take over for Ryan when things were sort of falling apart, and really transformed this defense. They gave up the least amount of points in the NFC this year defensively, and the fourth least amount in the NFL. They didn't win on offense.
No.
Their offense at times was lousy.
Mm-hmm.
It was their defense that was able to kind of hold everything back, and they did a tremendous job. Dennis was a big part of it, and, you know, when Sean tested positive for COVID, it was Dennis who was the head coach in that 9-0 win over the Bucks. And so he's got the respect of the players in the locker room. They understand what he's all about. He does have some head coaching experience.
Yeah.
Not that it was good with the Raiders, but hell, that list of coaches that were former head coaches with the Raiders, either in Oakland or Las Vegas, has grown pretty lengthy, hadn't it?
Yeah.
I'd be shocked if it wasn't Dennis Allen as the new head coach. I think they'll certainly talk to Aaron Glenn, who had some time here as an assistant coach in the secondary, was a guy that I think one day, very soon, will be a head coach in the NFL. But I think for now, Dennis Allen's the guy here.
Okay.
I'd be surprised if he wasn't.
He's plus 150 at DraftKings. Aaron Glenn plus 550. What are they inheriting here? What kind of a rebuilding? Is it a rebuilding project with the cap issues and what the quarterback situation will be?
The cap issues, the one thing I do give general manager Mickey Loomis and Kai Harley, who's the money guys, that they've been pretty creative cap-wise. And so as much as you're hearing about how much, you know, they're over the cap, I think they'll be able to work that pretty good. and get down reasonable. Now, they're not going to have a ton of money to spend in free agency, but we all know what's the biggest need for this football team, and that's at quarterback. If they don't fix that, they're stuck in neutral, bottom line. First things first, you got to get a healthy Michael Thomas back on the football field. You're a much better team with him than without him, and no matter what, you know, a lot of people here are trade him or whatever, he would cost you over $20 million if you traded him or cut him loose. Come on. For a team that, you know, you kind of juggling the books here, you don't have that luxury. So get him back healthy, and he helps you in the receiving core. But they got to go outside the team itself to acquire a quarterback, which means in a trade.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be surprised if they picked one via the draft. I think it's going to be a trade for a veteran quarterback.
Okay, very good. Follow the money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Mike Dettillier, our guest, WWL in New Orleans. How about in that same division? What is your prediction with Tom Brady? What do you think he does this coming year? Retires? Goes back to Tampa Bay? Something else?
I think Tom returns for one more year. I just think that he's not going to want to end it this way, personally. And he takes a look at that NFC South and says, these are the quarterbacks I got to go up against next year. Yeah, I'll take that. You know, again, the Saints have had his number. You know, it's unbelievable how well they've played against him defensively. But I think Brady returns for another year there. I just have a gut feeling that that's what's going to happen. He's going to be back, and certainly the NFC South. Tampa would be the overwhelming favorite coming into the 2022 season. I don't think there's any doubt about it. Without him, man, you talk about a jump ball. It would be a major one if he's not in Tampa Bay.
Oh, I mean, we kicked this around yesterday, Mike. If Brady doesn't come back, I mean, maybe 8-9 could win that division next year.
Yeah, well, look at 9-8 this year, and look at the Saints. They use four different quarterbacks. Yeah. Their receiving core. If I take Michael Thomas out, most people got a difficult time naming two other Saints receivers. The tight ends were in the witness protection agency. You had offensive line injuries to both your tackles, your center, and your guard. So, and you finished 9-8, and you still had a winning record.
Mm-hmm.
So, I pointed out that defense and special teams really won for them this year. And I couldn't say that in maybe years past under Coach Payton. Most of the time, it was all about Breeze and them hitting you with the tsunami offensively. But that wasn't the case this year. Found a new way to win. But
yes,
they got to solve that quarterback issue.
Yep. Well, Breeze getting out, and then Peyton following the year after, he realizes that, tough time, but also burned out the way it seems from yesterday's. Follow the money here on VSiN. Mike, cool enough to stick around for another segment?
Sure.
Very cool. A lot to get into. We'll continue here with Mike Dettillier. Again, WWL in New Orleans. We can kick around some of these other openings that we have in the NFL. And we want to get his thoughts on the two title games that we have this Sunday. Who does he like in the NFC and the AFC? And tomorrow is a big, big day in the state of Louisiana as a couple of books, including DraftKings, will be opening up. Just how big it's going to be in that state. We'll continue here with Mike Dettillier coming up next on Follow the Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Rolling along here on a Thursday. It is Follow the Money on VSiN. Mitch Moss, Pauly Howard, live in downtown Las Vegas from the Circa Resort and Casino. As we continue here with Mike Dettillier, kind enough to join us for a second segment, WWL in New Orleans. You told us that you really like Dennis Allen to be the next head coach of the Saints. He's plus 150 at DraftKings right now. Any other openings right now, Mike, in the NFL where you think a coach like would be a good bet right now, or a coach would make a perfect sense to be the next guy?
Yeah, Brian Daboll in Miami. To me, that makes a lot of sense. If you're trying to fix your offense, because defensively, they're a really good football team. Man, that to me makes all the sense in the world. And remember, he's got ties to Tua because in 2017, he was the offensive coordinator, quarterbacks coach at Alabama. So I think Brian Daboll, to me, would be a strong, strong favorite for Miami at that particular spot. And the other thing, too, is Brian Flores has got to get another job. I think he did a really good job in Miami. Defensively, they were a tough out. And the way they ended that season with that run, somebody's got to give him another shot. That wasn't his fault.
Yep.
You know, of what happened. And it's well documented. He's not the one who wanted Tua Tagovailoa. He wanted Justin Herbert. And listen, when you get in a fight with the general manager, 9 out of 10 times, GM's going to KO you. So yeah, if it's New York or Chicago, and most likely I think New York is maybe the best spot for Brian. I think he's got a shot to come in here and do a really good job. He's a fantastic defensive coach.
You hear anything on Quinn or Caldwell for any of these jobs?
Man, I'd be surprised Jerry lets Quinn walk out of that building. I'm just telling you, I'd be really surprised if Dan Quinn gets to walk away. I think Jerry's going to do everything he can to keep Dan Quinn in Dallas. One way or another.
Okay.
Meaning, you know, if he would maybe come real close to getting another job, somebody might get walked to the guillotine.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
that's interesting.
Okay. Are those comments the last couple of weeks have been good, too. What do you think of Hackett to Denver and what it could mean for Rodgers?
Well, you certainly see it paved the way now. And Hackett has done a really good job there. But now is to connect the dots because it would make all the sense in the world for Aaron to return back to Green Bay next year in 2022. Makes all the sense in the world. Gives him the best chance to win a championship with Green Bay. But now that Hackett is in Denver, it also opens up the door of a possible trade. They got a lot of assets that they could piece together to get Aaron away from Green Bay. And what we don't know, was there a nod, wink, wink type of deal that, hey, listen, I'll come back and play in 2021, but you deal me off. Mm-hmm. And it would be to an AFC team. So, you know, you wouldn't have to see him but once every 4 years unless you're playing him in a Super Bowl-type situation. So I think that's an interesting hire by Denver to go for Nathan, and his connection to Aaron Rodgers is going to cause a ton of speculation all across the NFL for the next few weeks. Mm-hmm. I think if something happens, guys, it's going to happen quick. I think very similar to what you saw last year with the Stafford, Goff, draft choices type deal.
Okay.
It'll happen quickly.
Mm. Who do you like? Who's going to play in the Super Bowl?
Well, give me Joe and the 7 points, but I'm going to pick Kansas City. I think Kansas City wins the game, but, man, I ain't betting against Joe. I've been around him since he came here at LSU. And that was the one thing with Coach O. You never had to worry about chewing out his football team if Joe was there. Joe would do it all himself.
Ooh.
They almost hung half a hundred on a team one time, but they started out slow. Joe's in the locker room before they open it up to the press. He's chewing their ass out because they didn't play well early. I mean, that was the one thing with Joe, man. He always had an edge to him, and he will. I like Kansas City to win the game, but I'll take those 7 points. And I think the Rams finally get the weight off their back. And they beat San Francisco. I know it's 6 straight times they've lost to them, but I'm going to go here with the Rams. I thought if they were going to lose, it might have been to Tampa. If not, I think they roll this to Super Bowl Sunday. So I think the Rams, Kansas City, play on Super Bowl Sunday. But give me Joe in the 7, and I like the Rams.
And you'll be ready. What does this mean to your state that DraftKings and other books will be opening for business Friday?
Well, it's taken a while, and the complication has been that when Louisiana voted in, on offline betting, it gave an opportunity, and here in Louisiana, instead of counties, it's parishes. Not all of them voted it in. So you had to have an apparatus set up that if you're traveling and you go to a parish that does not allow you to gamble, then you can't do it off your computer or your cell phone. So it took a little while to get it done, but there's a lot of money involved here in doing that, and it's been the haven. They've been wanting this for many, many years, and I think it is going to be a huge windfall for the casino industry to have it online. Many of them are going to Mississippi to get to gamble. And so to be able to do it online, man, it's big in Louisiana. Got a lot of people who want to lose their money.
You can follow him on Twitter. He is at Mike Dettillier, and you always do a great job with your draft report as well.
Yes.
I know you've been working on that, and you probably work on that, 365 days a year. Any idea when the report's going to be out this year, Mike?
It would be, early April.
Early April?
Early April.
Okay, very good.
Yep.
Maybe we'll get you on again sometime down the road then, hopefully, and we'll talk to you about the draft. Thanks so much for the time today. We appreciate it, Mike, and have a good week, okay?
Thanks so much, guys. Y'all take care. Thank you.
All right. You too.
Terrific.
There you go.
How about that? Dallas. That would be something. Walk the guillotine.
Man. Yeah. Yeah, how about that?
I got to keep Quinn. That is awesome. Let's go top horse racing plays from ExpressBet Editor-in-Chief Jeremy Plonk. Both at Gulfstream Park. I got a horse today, too. Gulfstream Park, race 4. He likes the 4, Mind for Passion, 3-1. Showed improvement in her third start and is set to notch her first career victory. Win bet, daily double 4-3 to our pick in the next race as well. Gulfstream, race 5. He likes the 3, 5-1. Big time jockey upgrade. Best as a turf sprinter. That's what she gets to do in this spot. Win bet on the great calf, the 3, at race 5. This weekend is the Pegasus World Cup. You can get great special offers from FirstBet and ExpressBet on Saturday. Open a new FirstBet account with promo code Vegas25. Vegas25, you get $25 instantly. Get a $20 cash back promotion if the horse you bet to win the cup finishes 2nd or 3rd. That's great. And the $25,000 in the Gulfstream Park hit and splits on Saturday for top bets like pick 4s and pick 5s. VSiN.com/horses for more info to sign up now.
Have a horse?
Yeah. Let's go to Gulfstream in the 9th. Laughing Lass. 10-1 on the morning line. First time starter, training like a monster. Got the bug boy on him. I mean, this thing.
Okay. Who gave you this? Who's putting you on him?
He's 2-for-2 lifetime. You know him. 2-for-2 lifetime. 10-1. 50 to win, 50 to place. Laughing Lass in the 9th today. 10-1.
The person who gave you the horse is 2-for-2?
Yes. And the last one was a nice one. Big shot.
Okay.
Came in.
Right.
There we go.
So everybody right now on Twitter, all media, including Green Bay Packers media, is saying, let the Rodgers to Bronco speculation begin right now.
Sure.
Okay. And this is, I mean, this will tell you what I think. I think this is probably a very important tweet here from Adam Schefter. He pointed out, once Hackett was scheduled to interview with the Jags today, the Broncos stepped in last night to get a deal done to prevent him from going to Jacksonville.
Mm-hmm.
That tells you that they're like, okay, we need to connect the dots here and do whatever we can to make a move for potentially getting Aaron Rodgers. We want Hackett so bad, we cannot even allow him to have the phone call. Can't allow him to go somewhere else.
Uh-huh.
And so they put the full court press on and made it happen. That would make some sense, right?
It's incredible. Jacksonville wants to talk to him and considering him. They fired him in 2000,
I know,
whatever it was, 4 years ago.
Right.
Because he was the OC. He also was dealing with Blake Bortles, but still.
Mm-hmm.
horrendous play calling in that AFC title game.
Absolutely
brutal.
He
was calling the plays.
Yep.
Run on first down. Run on second down. Oh, it's third and eight. Okay, here comes the blitz.
Again,
oh, boy.
Who wants to bring, other than people in that state, who wants Rodgers back to run it back one more time and have the same exact thing happen yet again?
Painful.
No, thank you.
So painful for so many teams this weekend. Tennessee, gut punch. Bills, oh my God, how many beats can you take? Packers, oh God.
Mike Palm in studio next. How does the action look so far at Circa, and how is he betting the two title games?
Bet River Sport.